ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. టెన్ ఆఫెన్సెస్ ఆర్ టు బి అవాయిడెడ్ by persons who are seriously chanting the holy names of Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was told by his guru, and he told a group of Mayavadi sannyasis, and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami told us that he had said this. Krishna mantra hoite hobe sangsar mochan, Krishna naam hoite pabe Krishna charan. Krishna mantra. Mantra means that which manana trayate, that which delivers us from the oscillations of the mind. The mind is always chanchalam himanaha Krishna. That which delivers us from the mental platform. That is a mantra. So by Krishna mantra, the name of Krishna acts as a mantra in the matter of delivering us from material existence. But Krishna naam, calling to Krishna, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu calling out to the name of Krishna, that will bring us to the lotus feet of Krishna. But the holy name has to be chanted in a manner that Krishna wants to hear us. We're calling to Krishna. Krishna wants to hear us. He comes to this world to teach us how to revive our lost consciousness of Him. But at the same time, He has some terms and conditions. Of course, we know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that there are not terms and conditions. That as regards time, place, and circumstance, there are no conditions. Nam nama kari bahudha nija sarva shakti tatrarpita niyamita smaranena kalaha etadrishi tava kripa bhagavan namapi durdaivam idrisham ihajanina anuraga. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that in all your names, Krishna, so many names, Krishna, Govinda, and so on, and they're all Krishna, they're all as Krishna is fully imbued with all potencies, and simply by chanting these names, yaha hoite sarva siddhi hoibe shobha, everyone can achieve all perfection. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I have no attachment. I don't feel any attachment. My bad luck, that I don't have any attachment. Bad fate. Kayate shuite jata tota namaloi. Even when eating, even when lying down, in any way one chants the holy names, deshkal niyam nahi. There's no consideration of rules regarding place and time. One can achieve all perfection by chanting the holy names. That doesn't mean that there's no consideration whatsoever. There are no considerations of place and time. One can and should chant the holy names in all places, in all times, and all circumstances. But there is a question of attitude also. The attitude should be that attitude that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has expressed in his Shikshashtaka. It should be Specifically, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that, qualifying this statement, that one can attain Krishna's whole, his feet by chanting the holy names, but the holy names have to be chanted without offense. Niraparadhe naam loile pai premadham. If one chants without offenses, then he gets the wealth of love of Krishna. Bhajane madde shreshta navavidha bhakti. What is it? Navavidha bhakti. What's the next line? Anyone? Bhajane madde shreshta navavidha. Anyway, the point is that the nine processes of devotional service are the best, and then among them the holy name is the best. But the holy name has to be chanted without offenses. So those who are taking initiation into the holy name, they should know what these offenses are in order to avoid them. Now, it could be postulated that initiation is not necessary because anyone can chant the holy name even without initiation. That's also stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Dikka puras chajya bidhi, opekha na kore. Even without taking initiation or any other processes, one can chant the holy names and attain love of God. But initiation into the chanting of the holy names means that one makes a commitment to chant in a specific way, fixed number of times, avoiding offenses, and fixed number of times. Sankhya, the example is Sankhya Purvaka Nama Gana Nati Bidhi. The six Goswamis, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, chanted by counting. It should be counting. So that the essence of the initiation, the attitude is dikka kale bhakta kare atta samarpan. The essence is that with initiation, one surrenders one's very life, one's very self. So there is a difference between chanting and chanting with initiation. In one letter, Srila Prabhupada said that there's a difference between being initiated and non-initiated. He said being initiated means authorized. Authorized means that one has come in the line, parampara. One is recognized in the school. Sometimes the parampara, a particular sampradaya, is called a school. We say the Madhva school, Ramanuja school. It's initiation and is entrance, formal recognized entrance into the sampradaya. So for those who are in this school, they are to know what the offenses against the holy names are and to avoid them. And these offenses, they concern attitude in devotional service. There are times when we're chanting the holy names and times when we're not chanting the holy names, but this attitude has to be maintained while not chanting the holy names also. We should practice to always chant the holy names. But there may be times when we don't chant during our 24 hours. Probably we spend more time not chanting than chanting. We may be doing other services or other things. But there's an attitude that is to be maintained at all the times. And if that attitude is... It's not possible, just like, for instance, the first offense is... let's go to the second offense. That's an easier one to relate to this. To consider the names of demigods equal to those of Krishna. So it's not that while you're chanting, you don't think that, you think the names are inferior, and then when you stop chanting, you think it's all the same. It's not possible. It has to be maintained throughout one's life. It's a question of proper understanding. So these offenses, to understand them and live by them, it presupposes that one is engaged in Shravanam, Kirtanam. Chanting the holy names must be accompanied by Shravan, hearing such matters as... again, I'll come to the second offense. Shivasya Shivishno ya ehaguna namadi saklam diyabinam pashet sakalu harinam ahitakara. To think that the demigods like Shiva and Brahma are on the same level as Krishna is the second offense. So to understand that, one has to hear properly from proper sources. Especially in Hinduism, there's a widespread idea that it's all the same. Right? You do whatever you like, if you like, and you can be a Hindu. There are no fixed rules for anything to be a Hindu. But generally Hindus, they believe in reincarnation. They have a tendency to like Krishna and to not eat beef. There's certain things which identify one as a Hindu, and it's generally considered widely considered by even scholars in the Western world and people in general who have some idea of what Hinduism is, that, well, they think all the gods, there are many gods and they think they're all the same. And there's nothing behind it all. It's all one big merge. And you can, out of, just like in the Khichdi, they're all different things and it's kind of merged together. It's not exactly homogenous. And you can pick, if you like the carrots in the Khichdi, you can pick that out. And the next day, if you don't like the carrots, you can pick out the potatoes. And in this way, it's all one, but you just pick out what you like. That's the general idea of Hinduism. All the gods are this. The Khichdi example isn't given. I just gave that myself. But the general idea is that all the gods are the same. And it's all one anyway. And when you achieve perfection, you jump in the Khichdi pot and become part of the Khichdi. And so whatever God you worship, it's all the same. That idea was implanted in the Western mind. I'm not sure. Swami Vivekananda, I guess, was a major influence in that. And the Christian missionaries who wanted to portray Hinduism as polytheistic, whereas actually, at least the Vaishnavas, they are very clear that Ekale Ishvara Krishna Arsa Bhritta Jare Joiche Nachai Tare Toiche Kare Nritta. There's only one God, Sabke Malik Eke, and it's not Sai Baba, it's Krishna. It's Krishna. And everyone dances, all others dance according to his direction. Now, Krishna is supreme. So, to understand that it's not all the same, one has to hear from proper sources, from Vaishnavas, and properly hear and understand. So sitting in this ceremony and being initiated means that you are no longer a Hindu, at least in the sense. Of course, if there's the census, you might fill it up Hindu. When Srila Prabhupada went to the Golden Temple in Amritsar, there's space to write, what is your name? You have to, in the guest book, what is your identity? And your religion could be Hindu, Muslim, Sikh, or whatever. Prabhupada put Krishna-ite. Culturally, maybe considered Hindus, but in terms of thinking everything is all one, we worship all the different gods, and we like Krishna, but actually you can like any others also. That thinking has to be finished. For those who are not coming from a Hindu background, you don't have that problem so much. You may have other problems, philosophical and otherwise, but the fortune of being exposed to this Hindu culture comes with some misfortunes also. The fortune is that the tendency to revere Krishna, the tendency to revere sadhus, the tendency to go to temples like here. So it's an elevated birth, no doubt. But it comes with some bad aspects also. So those who are coming from the Western countries, mostly they don't have that idea that all the gods are the same. So those who are Hindus, that's one thing they have to understand very clearly. Otherwise, by chanting, they won't make proper progress. So I said the second offense because it's something like a sthayi bhav or a continuous way of thinking of people who are not properly in Krishna consciousness. Whereas the first offense, is to blaspheme. Srila Prabhupada made this, he gave this to the sadhu ninda, the offense of blaspheming saintly persons. He gave that to, Srila Prabhupada gave his rendition of that as to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives for propagating the holy names of the Lord all over the world. So that's not something that someone is likely to do all the time, but if they have an offensive mentality, it may come out sometime. If the tendency or to denigrate Vaishnavas is there, that will come out. So it's an attitudinal offense also. One has to hear the glories of the Vaishnavas. We heard so nicely last night from the Sri Vaishnavas, who kindly graced our program here. That was one of the points of the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, one of the teachings of Sri Ramanuja, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu incorporated into his doctrine and culture. The attitude of great reverence for the Vaishnavas, and that's very strongly there in the Sri Vaishnava culture. That also has to be tempered. Tempered, you know, that means just properly understood or adjusted. It's nothing to do with anger. It has to be tempered. Just like to think that the demigods are equal to Krishna, that has to be tempered with an understanding that they're all devotees of Krishna. It's not that we go to the other extreme and blaspheme them. So to not blaspheme the devotees, the saintly people, also we should understand that, first of all, we have to understand who a Vaishnava is. We should be very careful of persons who nakhe tilak, golai mala, kole ek, pore bala. That's Bhaktivinoda Thakur has criticized the kind of Vaishnava who has tilak on the nose and the tulsi mala beads on the neck and on his lap someone else's wife. Why did he criticize? Because it was a fairly common occurrence. If it was only one or two, there wouldn't be any need to make a point of it. But it was fairly common. So there's a gross example of someone who, by respecting such a so-called Vaishnava, one doesn't make advancement in Krishna consciousness. One goes backwards in Krishna consciousness by respecting such people who are misappropriating the gifts of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to engage in gross sense gratification, to satisfy their carnal lust in the name of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we should not blaspheme devotees. We can learn, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we understand from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted that point from the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. We can learn from them also how to respect Vaishnavas, those who are chanting the holy names of the Lord. Are glorious. Aho bhata svapacho to gariya. Even if born in very low families, they are glorious. Yajji vagre vartate nama tubya. On whose tongues the holy name, your holy name, Devahuti says to her apparent son, Kapila, on whose tongues on the tip of the tongue, your name is presence. Tepas tapas te juhavu sasnaraya brahmanucha nama grinanti yate. Such persons, it's understood, they've already done all pious activities. Bathing in holy places, performing austerities, studying the shastra. They've already done that. Or it's equivalent to having done that, because they're chanting the holy names. Even if born in the most condemned status of life, they're outside the Vedic culture, or outside the Varnashram society, to be more accurate. Svapacha, those who cook and eat dogs. But not, it's not mentioned here, the cow killer, no. Even the Svapach, they have some touch with Vedic culture. Chandal has some touch, but the cow eater or the cow killer has no touch. They're really in a very bad situation. Srila Prabhupada was unique in going among the cow killers and preaching Krishna consciousness. We can't imagine what a task that was. The third offense is to disobey, Guru or Avagya, to not properly respect the Guru, which includes, of course, not obeying his orders. It's ridiculous to accept a Guru and not obey his orders. It's meaningless. It's not only meaningless, it's offensive. But it nullifies one's status as a disciple. One voluntarily becomes a disciple. No guru goes around begging at the lotus feet of people, please become my disciple. A disciple has to beg the guru, you please accept me as a disciple. And then you have to accept the order. It's somewhat different to being in the army or the police, where you just take orders, that's all. You just take orders. There's no question of disobeying. In the army, if you disobey in a battle situation, you'll get shot by your own troops, the court-martial. To disobey in the army is very serious. But in the matter of guru and disciple, There is no punishment like that. The punishment is when one loses the mercy of the Guru. That's the punishment. That's worse. You may think, I'm independent, I can do what I like. That's why we go to a guru, to tell us that we're not independent and we can't do what we like. We should simply recognize our dependence upon Krishna. Also, to disrespect the guru, that doesn't mean ordinary politeness. It means extraordinary respect. The guru should not be thought of as an ordinary person. Namartya buddhya. One should not think of him as an ordinary person. So this requires a non-empiric way of thinking. Because we see that the guru is a human being, eats, sleeps, gets sick, has different moods. We may think that, well, guru, he's self-realized, so he shouldn't have different moods. Should just be samatvam yoga uchyate. Should just be a yogi and just be completely indifferent to everything. That's not the Vaishnava understanding or the proper understanding. There's different moods. But then we should see that the guru, as the representative of Krishna, everything he does is in Krishna's service. So we shouldn't think that he's an ordinary person. To think like that is an offense. It may seem very strange, because in many ways he is an ordinary person. But his extraordinariness is that he speaks the message of Shastra without any personal motivation, and that he accepts the disciple for the sake of uplifting the disciple. A guru who accepts a disciple for the sake of his own self-aggrandizement or income, that guru is not a guru. It's possible to take the position of a guru for reasons other than the proper reasons. To exploit the disciples. Guruvo bhavo santi shishya vittapaharaka. There are many gurus, so-called gurus, who take away the money of their disciples. And Durlabha Sadguru Devi Shisha Santapaharaka, Lord Shiva told his wife, is rare to find a guru who takes away the distress of his disciples. He may do both. I could tell you, I'll take away all your distress. How much money do you have in your bank? Give it all to me. We'll use it all for Krishna's service. Then I feel very distressed. Tato danam tyajantyasya swajano dukha dukita. Oh, my family members, what will they say if I lose all my money? But anyway, the point is that even if a guru does take all your money, if he's actually a guru, he'll use it all in Krishna's service for your eternal welfare. His qualification as a guru is he takes away your distress. That is the symptom of a bona fide guru. We may not understand that. It might seem that he gives us more distress. But why doesn't he do this or do that or tell me this or tell me that, and then I would be less distressed. Then I'd be happy. One shouldn't think like that. One should think that how the Guru deals with me is God-inspired. It's a big topic, can be a complex topic. There may be factual misunderstandings also. But the basic principle is one should not disrespect the Guru. Or the Shastra, Shuti Shastra Nindanam. One should not blaspheme the scripture, understand it's all given by Krishna. That means even the scriptures which give allowances for eating meat, that should not be blasphemed either. One can state that this is for people at a lower level, but one should understand it's given by God for the upliftment of people at that level. It's very fashionable in Hinduism to blaspheme the scripture. Scripture means Vedic Shastra, Puranas, Itihas, all these things. They like to poke fun. Devotees should never take part in that. He should be against that. Now, tathartha vado harinamni kalpanam. To interpret in one's own way or think that the glories of the holy name are imagination. These two, I'm looking at one list that's here, that's a little different from the one that Srila Prabhupada gave us, given by one of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers. These two could be put together, that to think that the glories of the holy name are imagination, and then to explain it in a different way, to give some materialistic understanding, or to think that it's some material sound. That, yeah, you chant Hare Krishna, you see there's the, you chant Hare Krishna and the way the words are formed, there's certain sound vibrations, and by scientific understanding we can understand that this vibration gives, it calms down the brain waves. I don't know if there's such a study, but you get the idea that people, they try to give some mundane idea of how the holy name is beneficial. And if you chant the holy name, then you'll feel... Religion is good because it makes people feel peaceful. So you chant the holy name and you feel peaceful. And it's a very peace-inducing kind of sound. Is it an example of a mundane interpretation of the holy name? We should understand the glories of the holy name from Shastra and Acharyas. These, there may be in a subsidiary way. Sometimes, I don't know if they still do it, but in the 1970s and 1980s in America, sometimes psychologists used to come around and make a psychological assessment of the devotees. And some psychologists would say, yes, by chanting and following Krishna consciousness, they become peaceful in their mind. And other psychologists would come and say they're brainwashed. And then which psychologist do you believe? It's an imperfect process, this psychological analysis. So they may say this and they may say that. And there may be such effects observable in a devotee of Krishna that he's become very peaceful. But then if he's a real devotee, he maybe shouldn't be too peaceful, because if the devotees are blasphemed, he should not be peaceful. He should be agitated. So to judge the effects of the holy name by any material criteria, or to think that our understanding of the holy name can be gauged by any material criteria, is itself an offense, as it is to not believe that the holy name is so powerful. Ek Krishna Nama Kare Sarva Papa Koi. I'm quoting a lot from Chaitanya Charitamrita, where the theology of the holy name is presented very systematically in Harinam Chintamani, but that line which I quoted says, Ek Krishna Nama Kare, by one saying one holy name, but saying the name of Krishna once, Sarva Papa Koi, all sin is destroyed. People may think, yeah, it says like that, but it's not really true. So we have to believe that. Then if we think, oh, we're chanting holy names, you get free from all sins, then that brings us to the next phase of rascaldom, how the mind can interpret this. Oh, really? Good. Okay, let's have a look at all the sins I can do. I just have to remember to say Hare Krishna at the end. Then I can get away with it. But Nam no baladyasya hi papa buddhir na vidyate tasya yamayar hi shuddhi. To think that I will commit sins on the strength of the holy name, because afterwards I'll just chant, it's such a sin, such an offense, that one cannot be purified by Yamaraj even. Yamaraj purifies the sinners by giving them horrible reactions. And then they become purified in the sense that, yeah, the reaction to their sin is over and then they can start again. But because this mentality is wicked, that the pure holy name of Krishna, I'll use that to indulge in criminal activities, in activities giving pain to others. That attitude, punishment by Yamaraj won't change the attitude. Very serious offense. To think I'm a devotee, so I can do whatever I like. I'm a devotee. Even to think I'm a devotee is a wrong attitude. One should think, I aspire to be a servant of the devotees. Then, Ashadadhana Vimukha, oh, Pishish. Ashadadhana Vimukha, oh, Pishundati. Yas Chopadesha Shiva Nama Paradaha. To speak the glories of the holy names. We've heard so much of the glories of the holy names. We should believe in that. We shouldn't lack faith in the power of the holy name to purify us. But at the same time, to people who are indisposed to hear that, we shouldn't tell them. They may be inclined to use the holy name for their own sense gratification. Or they may blaspheme. Faithless persons. Faithless persons, they should not be told the glories of the holy name. Just like we see Srila Prabhupada went all over the world and he spoke the philosophy of Krishna consciousness to various people with the idea of convincing them of the worth of Krishna consciousness. Not that he went to everyone and just said, oh, chant Hare Krishna. The ultimate aim is to bring people to chant Hare Krishna. But they should do so not thinking it's petty. You are all taking initiation today. We've come to the understanding that this Krishna consciousness, it's not something that we do, just like we go to a holy place for pilgrimage. Then we go back to our life in Chennai And in Chennai also we have a puja room in our house. And we do puja to the gods. And we go on with our life, which is based around Ahara Nidra Bhayamaitun, Sri Aishvarya Prajapseva, materialistic way of life, but we also believe in God. But here, in Krishna conscious movement, it's the initiation is into pure devotional service, into the attitude that everything I do must be for Krishna only. And someone who has that attitude, that is the bhakti lata bij that the guru gives, the attitude of let me serve Krishna only, let that be the goal of my life, the seed of the creeper of devotional service. That is the seed, that idea, which is to be cultivated. But for persons who are inimical to that very concept, we may not tell them. We may ask them to chant Hare Krishna. There may be people who are ready to chant Hare Krishna, but they don't believe in Krishna. So we may, just as we're on the street chanting Hare Krishna, we may ask others to chant also. But rigid instruction in the glories of the holy name is for those who are willing to hear carefully. Don't increase the offenses by engaging other people in offense also. Oh, I missed that out. Dharma vratati aghuta adi sarva shubha kriya samyam api pramadaha. To think that the holy name is another good deed, pious act. No, holy name stands separate from that. Holy name is in a completely different category to all kinds of pious activity. Chanting the holy name, actually it can be considered a pious activity in as much as the holy name does free us from sins. The holy name does give us good fortune, if that's what we want. But the point is that we shouldn't want that. We take initiation into Krishna consciousness with the idea to surrender to Krishna, to please Krishna, not to please ourselves. So to have that attitude that the holy name of Krishna can give me all materially desired things is true. But to maintain that attitude is not an attitude of love. In the matter of love, in the matter of prema, that is an offense. Then aham mamadi shudvapi nama mahatmyam yat priti rahito adhama. Aham mama adi paramo namni sopya paradakrit. To aham mama, I, me and mine, to keep my ego is most important. My sense of me, my sense of egoism, if we maintain this, then we're not chanting the holy name. Actual chanting of the holy names means chanting in the attitude, please engage me in your service. O Krishna, O energy of Krishna, please engage me in your service. But if we're thinking, I'm important, then it's just antithetical to the whole idea of bhakti. So our ego, I am important, I am doing so much, I am preaching, I'm a good preacher, I'm spreading Krishna consciousness. Look and see how much I've done. Such an attitude, that is offensive. One should not be indifferent to the chanting. One has to take it very seriously. Indifferent, inattentive. Just think, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Yeah, I have to chant. Okay, I'll chant. One has to hear the glories of the holy name. If one has heard the glories of the holy name, then he will be enthusiastic to chant. If one is committing these offenses, then he'll be indifferent to chanting. If one offends devotees, then Bhakti Devi will not agree to live in his heart. Any feelings of, if there's no love for the devotees, then there won't be love for Krishna, won't be love for the holy name. We'll become indifferent to our chanting. Or if we think that the demigods are equal to Krishna, then why should we take, or if we think that bathing in holy rivers, chanting the holy name, it's all the same, then why should we take the chanting of the holy name very seriously? Or if we think that the guru is just some other guy, he's chanting Hare Krishna. He takes it too serious. It's too much. He should cool down a bit. So this kind of attitude, if we're maintaining the offenses, then we won't have seriousness in chanting. So we should avoid all these offenses. We should know what they are. So therefore, at the time of giving initiation, some discussion is given on these points, so we can understand and avoid all these offenses.